This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Did you know Connecticut's largest lake is man-made? We cruise Candlewood coming up, but first, Southold officials consider a new law on how town police interact with ICE. And Connecticut regulators make a decision on how much to reimburse Eversource for storm-related costs. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. The U.S. Navy's historic $76.6 billion contract, won by General Dynamics Electric Boat to build 14 submarines, will boost Connecticut's economy, according to state economists. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Fred Costinson is an economist at UConn. He says the multi-year submarine manufacturing contract is a positive development for Connecticut, which has struggled economically for the past 40 years.
This phenomenal contract ought to be the motivation to put together a very serious effort to look at and how we can maximize our ability to capture the benefits that are going to flow from this.
Dustin Nord is with the Connecticut Business and Industry Association. He says 8,000 additional jobs could be created at the shipyards.
For every job that we have in shipbuilding, we usually are supporting another 2 to 4 jobs across the economy as well. So it's a big deal for the Connecticut economy, especially Southeast Connecticut.
Nord says work at the shipyards and thousands of supply chain companies could be secure into the late 2030s. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Southold town officials are considering a new law that would require local police to respond to immigration enforcement operations. WSHU's Desiree Diorio has more.
Supporters of the law say it doesn't restrict ICE officials, but it would reassure all residents during federal operations, which can be chaotic and even deadly. Magda Rodriguez serves on the town's public safety task force. She says she supports the law.
We must ensure that federal operations do not compromise our local emergency responses, capabilities, or blind our local law enforcement. A gap in safety anywhere is a threat to the stability of our entire township.
Some critics say the law, which includes a provision that local police confirm the identity of ICE officers, is not enforceable. U.S. Representative Nick LaLota, who represents most of Suffolk County, has warned federal spending could be withheld from communities that adopt it. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
Connecticut regulators made their final decision on how much to reimburse Eversource for storm-related costs, and it's much less than what the company wanted. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
Eversource asked the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, or PURA, to pay them back for storm prep and response between 2018 and 2023. They asked PURA for nearly $1 billion last year, along with nearly $300 million in interest. PURA's final decision? $861 million, and no interest. Regulators then shaved off even more for money the company already got, bringing the total down to just about $668 million. Connecticut Attorney General William Tong called it a victory for the state's ratepayers and said he'll keep scrutinizing every dollar Eversource requests. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Candlewood Lake is a favorite summer spot for residents of Upper Fairfield County, but it's also been generating hydroelectric power for close to a century. That story is coming up.
Love WSHU? Take it with you. The WSHU app lets you stream your favorite programs, explore podcasts, and check playlists on the go. You can even tell us what you think. Feedback is built right into the app. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Sales of the synthetic drug kratom are now subject to much tighter restrictions in Suffolk County. The leaves of the kratom tree are used in legal products that can create an opioid-like high in large doses. The bill passed the legislature unanimously, and County Executive Ed Romaine signed it into law this week. Connecticut State Senate Majority Leader Bob Duff has a new title. He's president-elect of the National Conference of State Legislatures. It's a nonpartisan group of state lawmakers from across the country meant to promote cooperation between parties and states. They alternate parties every year. Duff, a Democrat, takes over for Montana Republican Barry Usher. Southampton Town will spend over $11 million to buy a waterfront property in Watermill. It's part of a larger effort to buy up properties and convert them into public beach access and restore wetlands. The town will use money from an East End Community Preservation Fund, fueled by a 2% tax on real estate transfers. Governor Ned Lamont's lead in the Democratic primary contest is shrinking. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports on a new poll pitting him against challenger Josh Elliott.
Lamont still has a 21-point advantage over Elliott, a state representative from Hamden. But his lead has been trimmed by 17 percentage points since May. 24% of Democrats are undecided. That makes it unclear if Elliott can close the gap by the primary on August 11th. Early voting begins Monday. According to the Connecticut Mirror, the poll aligns with others that show Lamont with steady support. But Elliott, whose policy proposals are to the left of Lamont, has gradually increased his name recognition and support. The poll was conducted by Impact CT, an independent group that promotes causes like affordable housing, healthcare, and education. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
Boating, fishing, or taking in the scenery, Candlewood Lake is a favorite summer spot for residents of Upper Fairfield County. But did you know Connecticut's largest lake is actually man-made? Candlewood has been generating hydroelectric power for almost a century. I stopped by to learn more on what it takes to maintain this technology while conserving this unique recreation destination.
The whole system is complex.
There's nothing simple about Candlewood Lake.
No. It's never boring here.
So. Folks with the Candlewood Lake Authority are the eyes and ears out here. Their brand new research vessel is souped up with lots of cool tech to keep the lake safer and cleaner. I hop aboard at its dock in New Fairfield.
And we designed it sort of, you know, from the start and put the different features in that fit well for us.
Mark Howarth runs the group, and he also grew up on this lake.
Obviously, you know, lakes don't have town lines and things like that, it gets tricky. So for public safety to be performed on a body of water that crosses municipal boundaries, they decided to form an organization.
And so the Lake Authority was born in 1972. I mentioned New Fairfield, but Danbury, Brookfield, Sherman, and New Milford also border this Y-shaped lake. It's 11 miles long and gets up to 90 feet deep.
And on the environmental side, we are sort of misnamed because we don't have any authority over the environmental side. But we do a lot of the research, study, and then we make recommendations. You know, whether it's regulations or things like that. We also work, you know, at the state level with regulators.
The new boat also has sonar capability. Being a man-made lake, there are still remnants of what was here before that we can now see below the surface, including a bridge. Mark shows me on the screen as we pass over.
But that was there in 1920s before they flooded the lake. So you can kind of see the other river connects, but yeah.
So let's back it up to 1926, when the idea for Candlewood got the okay. Joining us on board is Len Green with First Light, the company that's managed operations here since 1999. He explains this engineering feat was the first of its kind in the U.S.
It's a big, beautiful battery that was designed 100 years ago this year. Was finally built in 29, so we're coming up on the official 100th anniversary of this lake. And it was built to generate electricity, essentially store water that is discharged down through a big pipe down the hill in New Milford into a station called Rocky River.
At the bottom of the lake is the small farming town of Jerusalem. Homes, schools, even graveyards and more were demolished and moved before the area was flooded out.
It's an amazing feat of engineering if you think about the time they did it and the technology that they had to do it with. Steam shovels and in some cases things by hand, and 100 years later it's still operating and doing what it's supposed to do from an electricity standpoint, and obviously has created a fantastic place for people to live and recreate.
And that's on full display here today. Water skiing, kayaking, tubing, this place is clearly the spot for summer fun. We cruise up to the north end in New Milford to check out the dam.
If we were able to see over the top, you'd see it's this huge, very steep slope. And that's all obviously man-made, earthen dam. And I think Mark's gonna get us closer, but where that turnoff is past the boat barrier, that is actually the intake for the hydroelectric facility. So if you go down that channel, at the end there's this massive tower that is essentially the drain where water comes in and comes and goes down the penstock into the station. So the Housatonic River is actually that way.
So while First Light handles everything above the surface, once you get underwater, that's where Sophie Licht comes in as the Lake Authority's Director of Ecology. And like Mark, she grew up on this lake too.
And then, yeah, this kind of like was why, yeah, the lake was kind right of why now. I went to school for marine and freshwater biology. There's just so many interesting things about it.
And now you can kind of help your hometown. And
exactly.
That's really special.
Yeah, no, it's been really cool coming back. I haven't lived here in 10 years, so it's really awesome to be able to come back and, yeah, really like learn a whole different side of the lake and, yeah, try to do everything we can to protect it.
Sophie started work here this summer. Sometimes she gets to jump in the lake with scuba gear.
So you probably have, like, on a good day, around 5 to 10 feet of visibility. So it's very green, but there is a lot of fish in this lake. Like, there's some big, like, massive carp, bass. I can see, like, when I'm underwater why this is such a good bass fishing lake. Yeah, a lot of zebra mussels now.
I was going to ask, is that like the main concern as far as invasives go?
So zebra mussels are pretty well established in Candlewood right now. They're kind of like they're here and they have a reproducing population. So
it is what it is.
Their new concern is hydrilla, which is an invasive aquatic plant. That we don't have in the lake right now, but it's in the Housatonic River.
That's how easily these things can take over a local ecosystem, outcompeting native species for food and habitat. You put your boat in one lake, transport it to another.
And a lot of these plants spread through like fragmentation, so if you like break a piece off and throw it in a lake, that piece of plant can actually reproduce, and that's like that could establish and then start a whole new population. So it just really takes that one.
Every winter, First Light draws down the water levels in the lake. It helps with maintenance, but it's also a great way to get an idea of what's growing below. Exposing aquatic plants to lower temperatures freezes them down to the root and prevents them from growing back as easily next year. It also helps with those pesky zebra mussels.
Aside from the hydrilla, I mean, what's like, is there another one that like alarms are going off
She doesn't sleep at night.
There's always
the next monster.
That's so funny.
There's the golden mussels in California. There's like a round goby that's in the Great Lakes. There's all kinds of invasive species. I think it's
So even ones that aren't like in Connecticut or New England, you're still concerned about getting
still
here
looking
you
at
could
them.
Carry.
Yeah, okay. Just because it just takes maybe that one boat carrying the wrong.
Or as they get closer and closer, you know. So for instance, zebra mussels we have, right? But you know, there's also quagga mussels, which are a cousin of the zebra mussels, but tend to be more prolific than zebra mussels, and those have been moving east and towards this area. So it's certainly possible that, you know, at some point we could really have that threat at our doorstep. And then as Sophie mentioned, the golden mussels, right now they're in California, but those sound like they're even worse. So, but again, far away, but you know, these things can hit, as they call them, aquatic hitchhikers. They hitch a ride on a boat and you get brought to another body of water.
Sophie says the best way to keep these pests out is to clean your boat, drain it, and dry it before you put it in another body of water. As long as people do that, Candlewood Lake can keep providing fun and power for years to come. Sabrina Garone, WSHU News. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online, with our free app, and tune in here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram for more. We are at WSHU Public Radio. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. We'd love to connect with you on there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.